Okay, let's take our Bibles and go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And I'm going to read verses 16 to 24. Psalm 139, verses 16 to 24. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which are in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And let's pray. Father, please, Lord, help me as I teach this truth. Help me to be easily understood and not misunderstood. I want to speak your truth your way so your people can be strengthened and helped for you. Lord, we want your guidance. Lord, your wisdom and direction. Please bless your word to our hearts. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My text verse there is, look at verse number 20 and 21. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. You know, when you read verses 21 and 22, those are not verses that you find crocheted on anybody's pillow. you normally find something nicer and sweeter. But, you know, if you understand that, okay, an overview of Psalms would be they are the prayers of the Jews for God's deliverance during the during the tribulation, and many of them point to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. There's a lot of prophecy in there, and I'll say this: there's a lot of wonderful devotional truth in the Book of Psalms, and I think we all know that it's the most read book in the Bible. And the reason I'm telling you that is these are prayers. And yet, they're prophetic, and yet, God is teaching us how He wants us to pray to Him when we read the Psalms. They are prayers, you could say, put to music. We don't know what the tune sounded like, but these are obviously prayers to the Lord. So, listen to this. God is teaching us how He wants us to pray to Him when we read the Psalms. So, if I break prayer down, I know we are to thank God. God commands us to do so. That's where we thank God for what He does in our life and what He has done. Yes, His salvation, but His provision. And there should be a time where we thank God. Then we are to also worship God. And that is private. That's never a public event. It was in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's private. But worship is commanded of God also. And God is worthy of our worship, and there should be times where you worship God in prayer, and that's different from thanksgiving. You would, in worship, you would recognize Him for who He is. He's true and majestic and holy and pure and forgiving. He's kind. He's eternal. He is, and you list the things that God is, and you love on Him and recognize Him and glorify Him. That's worship. Then there should be also a time where you confess your sins and you take time and you list your sins where you failed God, and then you confess those to God. You tell God, I'm sorry I did this, and I'm sorry I thought that, and I'm sorry you confess your sins to God. That's an important part of prayer, and that's something that a Christian should do every day. And then there is praying or petitioning God. Now, the word pray means to ask. So you haven't prayed until you've asked God for something. That's an important truth in prayer. In other words, you can thank God and worship God and confess your sins to God, but you have not prayed until you have asked God for something. You've talked with God, but you've not prayed until you have asked Him for something specific. We've prayed for and asked God for many things: parking spaces in parking lots, short lines in stores, health. We've prayed for the Lord to bless the food, for traveling mercies, for the Lord to help our missionaries. We've prayed for deliverance of sin. We pray for the salvation of souls. But have you ever prayed for evil to come upon evildoers? In this psalm, God is teaching us to pray, and I want you to notice that many of the prayers are against the wicked. This type of prayer is called imprecatory, and it's a word that we don't hear much. It's a word we don't use much, but the word imprecation is the word curse. All right, so imprecation is imprecate is to curse. Imprecatory prayer, then, is where you petition God to judge or curse the wicked like He has said He would. Imprecatory prayer would be praying for evil to come upon evildoers. Now listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God tells us in verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or physical or something that we can see, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I remember when I was a teenager, an issue came up, and I heard two Christians talking about this, and a topic, and one person replied, "Well, let's pray about that." And I remember the reply of the other person was, "Oh, that's a cop-out." And I remember as a teenager thinking, I never thought of prayer or talking to God as a cop-out, and it really stuck with me, that thought. Prayer is not a cop-out. Now, I understand if you don't pray correctly, and it's just a time with you where you spend time with the Lord, and you don't pray against the, then I guess I could see how prayer could be a cop-out. But I've never called it that. I would rather call it more improper praying than I would a cop out. But those words stuck with me. God tells us that the weapon He has given us of prayer. Now He gives us two weapons: the Word of God, it's our sword, and He gives us prayer. And in this case, it's imprecatory prayer, and God says it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's mighty. It's a mighty weapon, and it's very powerful. Now, this is holy ground. And when you teach on this, and you tell people, look, you need to pray against evil so God can destroy them, it's like giving a child a loaded gun. I honestly believe there's many Christians, because one, they've never heard this before. They've never heard of this, but to refer to prayer this way as a way of pushing against evil, it is God's way of destroying things. It's holy ground, but it's very powerful. And my hope is that they would understand what they're being taught and what they're being given in this, from this truth in the Bible. Now, to give you an understanding and a foundation for this, God said in Deuteronomy 11, verse 26 to 28, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known." So God in Deuteronomy 11 makes reference to the blessing and the curse that he makes our choice. Later on in the Bible, now I'm just trying to lay a foundation for this, in Jeremiah, based on Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 to 28, because God's people, Israel, the nation of Israel as a whole, has given themselves over to idolatry and they have forsaken the Lord, they have brought upon them this curse that wasn't God's choice, it was their choice. And so Jeremiah in chapter 7, God tells Jeremiah three times, do not pray for this people. Now that just that thought, you mean God, there are things, sometimes people can be so wicked and given to evil that God says, don't even pray for them. Listen to these verses. Jeremiah 7:16 says, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. So God says, do not pray for them. I'm not going to listen. Jeremiah 11:14 says, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Then the third time is Jeremiah 14:11. Thus, then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Now those three verses is when God says, do not pray to me for these people, because I'm going to curse them. God then takes it one step further, and in Jeremiah 17:18, if you can mark it in your Bible, you should, but Jeremiah 17:18, let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Destroy them. There's the imprecatory prayer. So God had in Deuteronomy said, I set before you a blessing and a curse. It's your choice. I want to bless you, but if you do wrong and break my commandments, you will bring a curse upon you. Jeremiah is then told not to pray for them, and then God tells Jeremiah, I want you to pray for their destruction. And here it says double destruction. Now, when God instructs his prophets, his men, not to pray for his people, but against them, that is God's judgment. You know, when you finally get to the book of Daniel, Daniel acknowledges the curse that came upon God's people when they were sent into captivity for 70 years. So remember, the word imprecate means curse. Imprecatory prayer is petitioning God to judge or curse the wicked, or for God to bring evil upon evildoers. Now, that word imprecate, curse, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 11, listen for the word curse. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us. And the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. So imprecatory prayer, understanding it, the idea of praying for God to judge or curse the wicked because he said he would in his word. It is a theme that is, it's many places in the Bible. Now, there's intercession and there's imprecating prayer. Imprecation. Intercession and imprecation. Intercession is when we put ourselves before God, but between him and those he intends to destroy, and we petition God to spare those that he has said he will judge. When we do that, that's interceding. That's intercession. That's praying, Lord, please save this person. Lord, I know they have no use for you. They have no use for the Bible, but dear God, convict their heart and Lord, move in their life and Lord, save their soul. Please, Lord, break the pillars that they are trusting in. Lord, show them that you're the only way to heaven. Lord, help them, please. When you pray for someone like that, you're praying and interceding to God for them that they don't die lost, that they get saved. That's intercession. Now, when we pray and petition God to let his wrath fall upon the ungodly, we are imprecating God to judge or curse the wicked. That's the difference. So there's intercession, and then there is imprecation. When I read of John Knox, who is the starter of the Presbyterian movement in Scotland, he was a man of prayer. He's a Presbyterian, and he's not a Baptist. He's in heaven now. I believe he was saved. He's in heaven now. He knows he was wrong. He wishes he was a Baptist. But John Knox was a man of prayer, strong prayer. And Mary, Queen of Scots in Scotland, said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe." Why would the Queen say that? Because when John Knox prayed, it was not just thanking the Lord and worshiping the Lord and confessing your sins to God and asking God for your daily bread and to watch over you and to help you with temptation. John Knox did what James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed," period. And then the second period in verse number 16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Effectual, fervent, or heated praying against evil, God uses to do what? It said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, to tear down strongholds and pull down strongholds. So John Knox knew how to pray, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Look, if you're not praying against evil, if you're not asking God to work, then yes, your prayers are devotional, but they're not, and you know, all of our time with God is a help to us. And you spend time with the Lord, and yes, God rubs off on you as you spend time with him. That's how he created us. But if you're not praying for God to work in your church, and praying for God to save souls, and praying for God to help send laborers into the harvest, and praying against evil, asking God to work and to move, then your prayers are not availing or working much. Go over to Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 18, verse 23. "Lord, I need your power. I need your help in my family. I need your help at work. I need your help with my kids. I need your help in my marriage. I need your help with... Lord, I need you." That's petition. God, help me. That is prayer. And the average Christian doesn't pray that way. Well, I thank God. I think I already went through that. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth," or works, or accomplishes much, if he prays correctly. Ezekiel chapter 18, to give you more of a foundation for this, look at Ezekiel 18, verse 23. "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Saith the Lord God, not that he should return from his ways and live." God doesn't get his kicks out of judging people. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Look at verse number 32. That was 23. Look at 32. Ready? "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye." I don't find a God that's waiting to punish in the Bible. I find a God that pleads with people, "Please get right. I hope you don't go to hell. I died for you. Now, you want to go to hell? That's your choice. But please don't." I find a God that pleads with us through the Bible. God says, "I don't enjoy judgment." You're in Ezekiel 18. Would you go to Ezekiel 33? I've quoted this verse. If you've been soul winning with me, I use this verse. Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. I could take you to many other places. These are Old Testament verses. I could take you to New Testament. Just thought we'd just stay channeled a little bit tonight. Watch this. Ezekiel 33 verse 11. "Say unto them," Ezekiel 33, 11, "as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" I find a God that was saying, "Please get right. If you don't, I'm going to spank you in such a way that you will never forget it." And they never have, right?
for their idolatry. I find a God that was saying, please don't make me do this. But when it came time, when Jeremiah was preaching, God had already said, I'm going to hit you. Don't even pray that I don't. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah, I want you to pray that I destroy them with double destruction. That's the judgment of God. That's the judgment. Now, we know God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. God doesn't enjoy judging sin, but judgment of sin is real. So we do rejoice when justice is served, right? Because the opposite of that is Isaiah 59 verse 14, truth has fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. It's just like what I told you. I don't care if you want to take the vigilante justice. We don't want that. Nobody wants that. Anybody that thinks they want that couldn't have a clue of what's going on. No, you want the police. And they're all not bad. There's a few bad eggs. There always has been. They get found out. There's dirty cops. There's been dirty cops. That doesn't make them all bad. Why would you defund a whole police station? That just blows my head. So you're going to get rid of all the police? Well, then live without the police, you stupid fool. Then live without them. I can't believe they're talking about, what was it? $1 billion taken from the New York Police Department just to show, well, we'll defund okay, I don't even know how much money that is. In New York? Really? Bunch of screwballs up there. Okay, well then live without them. Watch how bloody it gets. Like I said, I think, you know, I told you, right, the governor, tell him he messed up, he broke the law, he needs to know that. I think we need to be writing our sheriff, we need to be writing our police chief. Hey, I'm for you. Every police officer comes into this, they come here and fill out their paperwork. I go out and I tell them, I just want you to know I'm for you. We're thank God for you. At our church, we're glad you're here. I don't believe you're a criminal or nothing. I'm thankful that you're here. One of them was just, lady police officer. She just looked at me and she said, thank you. I said, well, I want you to know we're for you. We're for you. Dear goodness, the horrible thing. Truth is lying fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. That's the best description of America I could give you right now with the chaos. We rejoice when justice is served. But God nor we should rejoice that anybody ever dies and goes to hell. Let me give you the truth about this. When Osama bin Laden was killed May 1st, 2011, I rejoiced that justice was served. But I wasn't glad. He's been in hell now for what, 9 years? He's been burning ever since, every day and night. I don't rejoice in that. I'm glad justice was served. That's what I rejoice in. Let me give you another one. When Jeffrey Epstein was murdered, August 10th, 2019, I was glad justice was served. But I wasn't glad anybody died. He's in hell. Are you sure? Yeah, I think so. That was one filthy animal. And everybody, there's so many people tied with him in our government right up here. $350 million in a slush fund to cover sexual allegations toward anybody in the House of Representatives or the Senate. Are you kidding me? $350 million a year. Truth is lying fallen in the streets. Yeah, I'd like to see justice carried out. But am I glad anybody dies and goes to hell? No. But Jeffrey Epstein's been burning ever since. And he will burn for eternity. And it will not stop. We rejoice at justice being served, but we don't rejoice in souls going to hell. An imprecatory prayer says this, Lord, if they're not going to get saved, then please destroy them. That's imprecatory prayer. That's where I pray, Lord, I hope they do get saved. I wish they would get saved. Lord, if you give me the opportunity, I'll give them the gospel. But Lord, if they don't want to get saved, then dear God, kill them. Do you know how much Bible is behind that? I've given you an Old Testament foundation. We're going to look through the Psalms and look how God teaches us to pray. It's not the only prayer we're supposed to pray. Okay? I think you know that. But it's a prayer that's never prayed. That should be. Imprecatory prayers all through the Bible. I want to show you the prayers in the Psalms. Could you take your Bible and go to Psalm chapter 5? While you go to Psalm chapter 5, I want to show you, this is in the Old Testament and New Testament. We're going to look at Old Testament verses in Psalms so I can keep you one book and we can kind of cover a lot of ground. But listen to these verses in the New Testament. This type of praying where you pray evil happens to evildoers is in the New Testament also. Let me give you a verse. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4 through 6. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, listen, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. So they had a man in the church who was committing adultery, and you can read 1 Corinthians 5 on your own. And God tells Paul, tell them to pray that that man kick him out of the church and deliver him to Satan, since he wants to live that way until he's done. In 2 Corinthians, he comes back. They prayed good. It worked. But the first prayer in 1 Corinthians 5 was, deliver him to the devil. Deliver him to Satan. This is a church member. If he wants to live that way, wants to live in incest and fornication, get him out of the church. That's imprecatory prayer. That's a New Testament example. How about this? Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Listen, the Lord reward him according to his works. I've been soul winning in a trailer court where the owner goes, get out of this trailer court. We don't want you passing out. That's fine. I don't think you want to be the reason we leave. You don't want to hinder the gospel. You get out of my trailer court. You know, I've been kicked out of several trailer courts. I've been kicked out of malls passing out tracts. Get out of here. It's against the law. I will. I'll do what you tell me. But you don't want me praying against you. You don't want me praying that evil. You have hindered God's work, not me. You can treat me any way you want. You can spit on me. You can trip me. It's not about me. You're hindering God's work. You don't want me praying against you. You don't want me praying biblically. You have no idea. I remember Brother Howes was out soul winning. One guy said, God, I don't believe in God. Bunch of stupid Christians, Bible thumpers. I remember Brother Hiles said, well, since God's so stupid and he's not real, you wouldn't mind then if I just pray God kills you right now. He said, I don't care. He said, all right. He put his hand on the man's shoulder. Dear God, I pray that you. God goes, stop! So you do mind if I pray God kills you? He was getting ready to pray imprecatory. That's not manipulating people. There really is biblical ground for that. That's not trying to trick people into getting saved. It's like, okay, since God's such a joke to you, why don't I pray God shows himself to you in such a way that you'll have no doubt he exists. And I will. I'm going to pray, God, work in their life and break whatever they're trusting. And Lord, show yourself real and may it be no doubt in their life that it's you that's working. That's imprecatory prayer. Dear God, work in their life. That's pushing against the evil. How about this? I read you 1 Corinthians, 2 Timothy. How about this? Listen to this. Galatians 1, 8 through 9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And verse 9 says, just in case you miss it, in verse 8, as we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. The word accursed means damned to hell. If any preacher wants to get in the pulpit and preach anything that can take you to heaven other than the gospel, then God says, let them be damned to hell. That's strong. Well, that's just their view of the Bible and their interpretation. No, they're preaching another gospel. They said you got to get in the baptistry to go to heaven. Let him be damned. That's imprecatory prayer. And that's New Testament too, by the way. There are not many, there are some good churches in our area, but there's not many to pick from. There are many that preach work, salvation. We meet them all the time when we go soul winning, right? And God says, if anybody tells you anything to get to heaven, the Jehovah's Witnesses, look, I'm here to tell you the truth. Can I show you from that? No, the elders have told us, blah, blah, blah. Mormons come by, you're preaching another gospel. May you be damned to hell scripturally. I'll gladly show you how to get saved. That's what I'm here for. No, we believe. Then may you be damned to hell. This is my neighborhood. I told one group of Mormons that came through when we were in Tennessee, got knocked on. There they were. Jehovah's Witnesses were everywhere. I remember one time the Mormons came through, elder so-and-so. They always got one that keeps quiet. One's doing the talking. I went outside and, you know, they always came on my day off, you know. It could never come when I was working. And I came to the door, and I plainly said, this is my neighborhood. Those are my neighbors. I've invited them to church, and if they believe what you teach them, they're going to die and go to the hell you don't believe in, but you're going to believe in when you get there. I don't want you in my neighborhood. This is my neighborhood. I pray for these folks. And by the way, you want to know how to get saved? Can I show you? No, we don't want to. I said, then get out of my neighborhood. They're a bunch of spineless, that's what they did all the way to their car. No, this is my neighborhood. God put me here, and I don't want you here. Get out of my neighborhood. You preach another gospel, and God says you are to be damned to hell for sending people to hell. Strong verses, right? So what I'm showing you tonight is in the New Testament. We're going to look at it in the Old Testament and look at it in Psalms. Real quick, let me just give you just a little more foundation. We'll get started here in Psalm 5. There are seven imprecatory psalms. Psalm 35, Psalm 58, Psalm 59, Psalm 69, Psalm 83, Psalm 109, and Psalm 137. These psalms express God's vehement anger against evildoers. Today in an unbiblical Christianity where the only thing that is said to matter is love and compassion for others and not judging, this is so contrary and so different. It's so contrary and different that I've told you I've never heard a message on imprecatory prayer. We have been programmed so much by Eastern Hinduism that says, this is, just so you know, this is Hinduism, there's goodness in everybody. How much have you heard that? That's taught so much in the, that's Hinduism. Do you know how opposite that is of the Bible? My Bible says there is no good thing in me. I have nothing good in me. If I'm a blessing or a help, it's because I let Jesus work through me. It ain't because of my goodness came out. That's Hinduism. But we've been so taught everybody has a goodness inside of them. Imprecatory prayer, once again, it's petitioning God to judge the wicked. It is praying for evil to come on evildoers. As we look at this, I want you to remember, these aren't prayers of a selfish person who's trying to get their way. These are prayers of spiritual giants who want to see God's will. These aren't prayers of a bitter individual trying to get revenge. They're godly saints who want God to display His justice. These are not prayers of an uncompassionate, unfeeling, sadistic person. But these are the prayers of one who wants evildoers to be stopped and hurt from hurting other people. These are not prayers of a powerless slave who is against human authority. These are prayers of kings who are relying on God and the power of the government to execute wrath. These aren't prayers of a child asking to be relieved of his suffering, but of a warrior who's asking for adversity to be defeated. These are humble, heartfelt prayers that depend on God. These are helpful prayers of sensitivity. They're healthy prayers of maturity. They're honest prayers of transparency. And they're holy prayers of justice. Now, to help us kind of work through this, I've divided these three sections of imprecatory prayer. I believe there are three neglected prayers that desperately need to be prayed by God's people. I can give this to you in an outline, and I think you'll see the similarities here in just a second. But the first one is, Lord, because justice must be given, please destroy the wicked. Please destroy them. Look at Psalm chapter 5. You're in Psalm chapter 5. Let's categorize these. Psalm chapter 5, look at verse 10. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Have you ever asked God to destroy someone? And watch this. I've already tried to tell you, this isn't because, well, I don't like them, so I'm imprecatory praying against them. Yeah, I got about 15 people I want to imprecatory prayer. That's not what this is about. This is about those that oppose the work of God, and because we want God's righteousness, we ask, Dear Lord, they're an enemy of your righteousness. Please destroy them. Lord, if they won't be saved, please destroy them. Isn't that what the verse 10 says? Destroy them, O God. Look at Psalm 28. Go to Psalm 28. Ready? Psalm 28, because justice must be given, therefore, Lord, please destroy the wicked. Psalm 28, verse 4. Psalm 28 and verse 4. I'm going to try to stay in Psalms tonight. Give them according to their deeds, according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of His hands, He shall destroy them and not build them up. Dear God, destroy them because they deserve it. They've earned it. Dear God, destroy them. Psalm 5, Psalm 28. Can you take your Bible and go to Psalm 35? Psalm 35. Look, I'm just hoping to draw your attention to some things that if you read the Bible and the Psalms, we read all the time, but because we're not taught this, you just breeze over it and go, okay, next. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is, God, look, if there's ever been a time for people to pray against the evil, it's now. Dear God, they're changing our country. Our freedoms are going bye-bye. Okay, I'm not asking for an easy life. I'm trying to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Somebody better be praying against the wickedness that's happening right now. What do you mean dropping off bricks? If I saw bricks being dropped off, and I couldn't imagine. Dear God, destroy them. Dear God, look at how strong the prayers get in your Bible of how God wants us to pray when we see evil. It doesn't mean I'll go get my gun and I shoot them. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God says, I really need you to pray. When you see evil happening, I need you to pray against it. God says, I'll work if you pray. Look at chapter 35, look at verse 1. Ready? Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Watch. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler. That's a shield. And stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Watch. Let them be confounded or confused and put them to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind and let the angel of the Lord chase them. That means they live in fear and they can't see what's scaring them. Something's chasing me. Yeah, it's the angel of the Lord. You're living in terror. Look at the next verse. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Dear God, let everything go wrong in their life. Let them get a flat every day on the way to work. You know what I mean? Dear Lord, persecute them. Watch this. For without cause have they hid from me their net in the pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Look what else he's praying. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. I'm talking about when you see an abortion clinic. Lord, I hope that doctor gets saved, but if he's not going to quit killing babies, dear God, destroy him. Let his destruction come suddenly to where he never sees it. That's a biblical prayer. Dear God, please help the evil to stop. That's somebody praying and pushing against the evil biblically. There's another prayer. I said the first prayer is this: Lord, because justice must be given, therefore destroy the wicked. Number two, dear God, righteousness must reign, therefore destroy the wicked. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 58. Look at verse 6. Psalm 58 and verse 6. What a verse. Psalm 58 and verse 6. Ready? Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. What a prayer. I think that's the most horrible part. I know I've been in two car accidents. I think that's the worst part of a car accident to me. Everybody's got their fears. But when your face hits that steering wheel and your teeth go loose, it just makes me sick. To me, that's one of the worst things. Break their teeth in their mouth. Look what God's praying. God says, I want you to pray against them. That's okay. That's verse number 6. Watch this. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Wow! Lord, as tragic as a miscarriage in, let tragedy enter their life and kill them. I'm just rephrasing the verse. Lord, righteousness must reign, therefore destroy the wicked. You're in Psalm 58. Go to Psalm 109. Watch this. Psalm 109. I'm not trying to get you to make this the only prayer that you pray. I'm trying to introduce you to prayer. And if there was ever a time for us to pray, it's now. And if there was ever evil to pray against, it's now. Well, we're Christians and we don't. Christian, you've got a mighty weapon of God when you hit your knees, if you'll pray correctly. Lord, I don't know who's funding this junk that's happening up in Washington, D.C., but dear God, would you please confound them and destroy them and break their teeth in their mouth? Wait, it gets stronger as we go into this. You look at Psalm 109, watch this, look at verse 6. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. Lord, I hope the devil, Lord, let him be the devil's chew toy. Watch. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. He's praying against their family. Do you know what's biblical when people are hurting people and doing wrong and they will not be corrected and you cannot, they don't care what's right? People have given themselves to evil. I'm talking about the Clintons and the Pelosis and the filth in our country. You know what this prayer says? Dear God, destroy their children, destroy their family. Isn't that what's happening? Let them be fatherless. Lord, and then when that happens, Lord, I'm asking you to destroy their homes. Wow. When was the last time you ever heard anybody pray like that? Well, I just love everybody. I think I've already made my point with that. We need to be praying against the evil. Let's just go all the way down to verse 20. Look at all the things he asks to happen. Verse 11, let the extortioner catch all that he hath. That's a thief. And let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any favor to favor his fatherless children. Let his children struggle. Let his posterity or his children be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing like as with a garment, so let it come into his bowels like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it come unto him as the garment which covereth him, and as for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of my adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul, those that oppose the work of God. If you're getting frustrated, which I hope you are, at what you're watching happen and what you're hearing in the news, then quit griping about it, and Christian, hit your knees and start praying. Start pushing. And when you hear of it, you're like, how can that happen in America? You can either walk around and go, like this, or you can hit your praise. Dear God, would you please get involved in this? And Lord, would you please work? And Lord, you're the only one that can help us. And dear God, would you destroy them? You want to get specific? Break their teeth and their mouth, and God, kill them. Dear God, kill their families. Lord, destroy their home. It's biblical. But it's something you don't hear happening. I think less would happen if more people prayed. I think less evil would take place if more Christians prayed like they're supposed to. Look, we're not longing for anarchy. There's no such thing as living without authority. Everybody, look, if you remove the government authority, then you're going to live under somebody else's authority that's not accountable. You don't want to live under the authority of a thug and do what they tell you to do because they told you to do it. But nobody lives without authority. We're not trying to be, you understand? We're not trying to remove authority from our life. We just want the right authority that God put there, right? That's God. They're called God's ministers in Romans 13. How about this? I said two prayers. Look, I'm on the third prayer. I said, first of all, Lord, because justice must be given, destroy the wicked. Second prayer, Lord, righteousness must reign. Therefore, destroy the wicked. And the third prayer that Christians need to pray is, dear God, your glory must be supreme. Therefore, destroy the wicked. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, and look at verse 22. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Your loins are from your hips to your knees. So, dear God, help them, Lord, give them fear all the time. Look at verse 24. Pour out thine indignation upon them. And let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation or their home be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. That's imprecatory prayer. Everybody see how much this is all through the Psalms? And yet, if we're not taught this, we just kind of read over it, and we go, okay, it's kind of, whoo. And, you know, you skip over it, but you don't apply it. God's trying to teach you how to pray. Go to Psalm 83. Look at verse 1. Notice the start of this psalm, and then I'll take you down to verse 13, all right, in the same psalm. Psalm 83, verse 1, keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted thee up at the head. They have taken crafty counsel together against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They have confederate. They are confederate against thee. Skip down to verse 13. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. You know what? When he's praying about the fire, he's praying about God send them to hell. I think it's this. I don't pray anybody goes to hell, but I do think this prayer is scriptural. Lord, if they're, please save their soul, but if they won't get saved, then God kill them. Right? That's scriptural. And I believe I have scriptural grounds for praying that. I think that needs to be prayed. Look at, he wraps up the psalm with the last two, watch this, verse 17, let them be confounded and troubled forever. That's hell. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Dear God, your glory must be supreme, therefore destroy the wicked. Let's go to the last place tonight. Could you take your Bible, go to Psalm 129. Psalm 129. Psalm 129 and verse 5. Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. You know what Zion is? That's a spiritual name for Jerusalem. That's in reference to heaven. Those that hate God and the Bible, dear God, confound them, confuse them, let them not be able to put their thoughts together, help them turn back, destroy their works, their job, everything that they... Who's this praying? Who do we know hates Zion? Islam? The president of Iran, the Muslim countries, Lord, I wish they would get saved. And some of them, by the way, are getting saved. Talk to our mission, talk to the military. Islam wants answers, but there's some of them, they've given themselves to it, and they're wicked people. They're blasphemous, and God says, pray against the evil. I wanted to give this message tonight because if I prayed with, I don't pray with ladies, but if I prayed with you and you heard me pray this prayer, dear God, please, Lord, I don't know who's behind this. I hear names, but dear God, this is so wicked what's taking place in our country. Dear God, would you destroy them? And dear Lord, would you break their teeth and their mouth? Would you destroy their children and destroy their homes? Dear God, would you kill them? Lord, send them to hell. Lord, I wish they'd get saved, but dear God, those that have set themselves against you, those that are for the hurting of other people, those that are would gladly kill and loot and destroy, dear God, kill them. If you heard me pray that and you didn't hear this, you'd go, oh my goodness, he's got a disease. He might have corona real bad. But I thought if I introduced you to this as an aspect of prayer, I do believe you're supposed to be thanking God. We've got enough to thank God for every day. You're supposed to be worshiping God on your own. You're supposed to be confessing your sins. There needs to be a time where you tell God you're sorry you failed every day. And you need to be praying and asking God to work. There's people you need to be praying for that get saved. We need to be interceding for some people. Amen? And we also, I don't know of anybody that prays like this. But this prayer, this is so much through the Bible, and we also need to be practicing imprecatory prayer. And if there was ever a time in our country that we need it, it's now. There's so much evil to be prayed against. And I think this type of prayer is rare. And I hope tonight it introduces it to you and you can add it as a tool in your tool chest. God wants to use you. God wants to use us. But God says, I work when you pray. And when you don't pray, I don't work. That's why this is so important. I hope it's a help. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this truth. I know that, Lord, it's not talked about.